Happy. My name is Louis. I'm from Robin Hood House Church, and I will continue to share from the One App today. Before we start, let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for gathering us all here this morning. We invite your Holy Spirit to come upon us and to provide us revelation and truth as to how we can live our lives as children of light. I pray that whatever I say, Lord, will be what you desire your people to hear. Use me, Father God, powerfully, and hide me behind your cross. Thank you, Lord. All these things we pray in Jesus' most precious name. Amen. So let's first watch the video on Matthew chapter 16, 1 to 12.
The Pharisees and Sadducees came to Jesus and tested him by asking him to show them a sign from heaven. He replied, "When evening comes, you say, 'It will be fair weather, for the sky is red.' And in the morning, 'Today it will be stormy, for the sky is red and overcast.' You know how to interpret the appearance of the sky, but you cannot interpret the signs of the times. A wicked and adulterous generation looks for a sign, but none will be given it except the sign of Jonah." Jesus then left them and went away. When they went across the lake, the disciples forgot to take bread. "Be careful," Jesus said to them. "Be on your guard against the yeast of the Pharisees and Sadducees." They discussed this among themselves and said, "It is because we didn't bring any bread." Aware of their discussion, Jesus asked, "You of little faith, why are you talking among yourselves about having no bread? Do you still not understand? Don't you remember the 5 loaves for the 5,000? And how many basketfuls you gathered? Or the 7 loaves for the 4,000? And how many basketfuls you gathered? How is it you don't understand that I was not talking to you about bread? But be on your guard against the yeast of the Pharisees and Sadducees." Then they understood that he was not telling them to guard against the yeast used in bread, but against the teaching of the Pharisees and Sadducees.
Amen. And let's continue to read from Ephesians 4:29 to 30. "Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouth, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption." Amen. And so the devotion from the app, as it relates to this passage, is as follows. The medieval poem, The Arabian, instructs us that before a word passes through our mouths, it must first go through 3 gates. The first gate, is what I'm about to say true? If we know it to be true, then it goes to the second gate. Is it necessary for me to pass this on? Some information was meant to stay with us. Sometimes, however, it is necessary to pass on. Then it goes to the final and narrowest gate. Is that I'm about to say gracious and kind? Applying these gates can help us live out Paul's exhortation today that we speak only wholesome words, which build others up. May our words build up, not break down our relationships. Amen. So now I will share some of my personal reflections on the two passages. So the Ephesians passage continues on the theme of how to live a Christian life. Today's verse are on our daily speeches. So I did a little research and found out that average man speaks about 7,000 words a day. And guess how many words for an average woman? 20,000 a day. That means we women are 3 times riskier than men to let corrupting talk come out of our mouths. So what are corrupting talks, referring to the three gates in the devotion, we can deduce that they are untrue, unnecessary, and unkind words. And the Bible constantly speaks against lies, slander, and gossips. So we more or less know where corrupting talks falls. And I found under two scenarios that these unwholesome talks are mostly likely to come out. One, when we are angry. Two, when we are gossiping, or sometimes we call it chit-chatting. So speaking from my own experience, I hope I do not purposely lie, but unnecessary and unkind words just escape my mouth easily when I'm angry, especially towards people I feel I have authority over, like my kids. So nowadays, I'm working from home with my two kids at home too, and the frequency of me getting irritated increased exponentially. So one day, my daughter typed away on my laptop, and before I knew it, she deleted all the slides in the PowerPoint I worked on for hours. So, you know, if the file was deleted, you can still retrieve it, but she deleted the slides, and the file was saved, and I can't undo it. So you can imagine how mad I was. I slammed the table, screamed at her, something like, "Can your hands do anything good?" and sent her to her room right away. I regretted, of course. None of the words helped to build up. In fact, they did the total opposite. One obvious mistake was that I condemned the person instead of the action. So the incident had some repercussions, which pains me further. A few days later, my younger son smashed his sister's unfinished Lego, and my daughter literally screamed in his face, "You bad boy, go into your room now." Just like the way I screamed at her a few days ago. Kids are just mirrors of their parents. So my son was, of course, stunned, scared, and for a moment unable to respond. And that was probably how my daughter felt when I screamed at her the other day. The Bible says, "Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God." At that moment, I understood how I grieved the Holy Spirit, just as how my daughter grieved me when she treated her brother like that. I believe the Holy Spirit grieved, not just because our words were unholy and against his teaching and character, but also because he knew how much hurt and regret those words can bring. So what is the antidote? I think to learn from Jesus, to think how Jesus will respond. We have an example right here in today's Matthew passage. So the Pharisees were asking Jesus for a sign. We saw this happen in previous passages as well, in Matthew chapter 12. So I guess the Pharisees were constantly bothering Jesus or in conflict with him at that time. That sets the background of what I'm interested to look into more today, the interaction between Jesus and his disciples afterwards. My guess is that Jesus had declared war against the Pharisees, but his disciples may not probably on the same page with him. In Matthew chapter 15, his disciple questioned Jesus, "Do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this?" So if I play a little role play here, the disciples was probably thinking, "Oh, Rabbi, you performed so many signs before. Why can't you just show them a sign and shut them up? Why you took on unnecessary battles and made unnecessary enemies?" And some of them may not even totally disagree with the teachings of the Pharisees. And Jesus probably knew this, so he warned them against the ease of Pharisees, but they still didn't get it. Jesus got every reason to feel disappointed, frustrated, and angry. If I was Jesus, I would probably say things like, "You fools, you are unteachable, unworthy of my time." But Jesus didn't. Let's see how Jesus responded. Verse 8, you of little faith. It was a factual statement. The disciples' faith level did fluctuate a lot, just like our faith level. We can sense the frustration in Jesus' tongue, but there was no sarcasm or condemnation. He didn't say something like, "You are hopeless," which would be unnecessary and unkind. So continue on verse 9 to 10. Do you not yet perceive? Do you not remember the 5 loaves for the 5,000 and how many baskets you gathered? Or the 7 loaves for the 4,000 and how many baskets you gathered? Jesus was strengthening the disciples' faith by reminding them of the miracles he performed. So continue on verse 11. How is it that you fail to understand that I did not speak about bread? Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees. Basically, Jesus was saying, knowing me, you should know that I won't care about bread. After that, he repeated what he said to give the disciples another chance to understand, and they got it sometime, at this time. So what Jesus' words built the disciples up? He firstly pointed out their problem, little faith. Then he dealt with it on the spot, reminding them of past experiences to strengthen faith. Lastly, he gave them a chance to rectify. So going back to the little incident I had with my daughter, I could have told her how her action ruined my hours of effort, so to point out the problem, and agree with her that I would cancel the playtime with her to catch up on my work, so deal with the problem. And finally make her to apologize, a chance to rectify. How I wish I read this and dive on this passage earlier on. And lastly, we should be thankful that our God is slow to anger, because we are no better than the disciples. Our faith swings and we allow the ease of the world, like fame, wealth, indulgence, etc., to infiltrate our life. And sometimes we may even get irritated by Christian teachings which are against some of the worldly values. But our God never gives up on us and keep reminding us the right way. So as the AV team play some music, let us reflect. Let us quiet our hearts and reflect on areas that God might be reminding you today. Areas that prevent you from living as children of light. It might be anger, slander, gossip, arrogance, self-sufficiency. Let us pray that God will shine light into that area and give us the strength to rectify.
Let's go.
Let's go to our community prayers. Let's pray for our friends and family that are battling through cancer and going through therapy. Let us pray for healing. Let's pray for our community that are battling through infirmities, but who also need to receive Christ. Let us pray for physical healing and also the word of salvation. Let us pray for our community that are battling non-cancer related illness. Let us pray for God's healing. Let us pray for members of community looking for jobs. Let's pray that God will provide and He will open doors. Let's pray for the different mission teams of SPE. Let's pray for North Korea that there will be open doors. God will open doors for the ministry. And let's pray for missional opportunities, partnerships in Asia. And let's pray for persecuted churches, the Middle East. Let's pray for God's provision and God's blessing over all these missions. Let's pray for SP weekend gatherings, migrant workers outreach, Sunday service, SP kids, worship, hospitality, SP youth, SP and SP Philippines services and activities, all meetings and helping without hurting class on Mondays. Let's pray for God's protection over them against the virus, and also let's pray there will be fruitful discussions coming out of it. Let's pray for Alpha. They are having a retreat today. Let's pray that We thank God for the faithfulness of our volunteers, and we just pray that this is a day of harvest, that there will be salvations, and yeah, we also pray for the protection of every volunteer and the guest. Let's pray for the house church who are gathering today, King's Court, Ma Wan, South Side, West Side. Let's pray that they will have a fruitful discussion and good fellowship. And lastly, let's pray for Hong Kong. Let's pray for our government. Let's pray over Hong Kong and wisdom for the city's leaders. Let us pray against the virus and protection and safety for all the medical workers on the front line. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you again for your new mercies this morning. We come humbly before you to repent for the times when our faith has been superficial. Help us to avoid the pharisaical practice of empty religion and fill our lives to be so full of you that our lives can only be lived out in a way that is most authentic and the most worthy testimony of you. We thank you, God, and all these things we pray in Jesus' most precious name.